Ali Benazir, author and clinical hypnotherapist in Los Angeles. He holds an AB from Harvard College, an MD from the University of California San Diego School of Medicine, and a master's in philosophy from Cambridge University. Ali is a certified clinical hypnotherapist in Santa Monica, specializing in behavioral modification. Previously, he consulted for unreasonably large corporations as an associate at McKinsey & Company. He now writes a popular column for Huffington Post and is the author of the recently released The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible. Ali incorporates a plethora of his learnings to help teach how to use our minds in a way that leads optimal happiness and peace. He's committed to helping you become the happiest, healthiest version of you. Please join me in welcoming our friend, the fabulous Ali Benazir.
Thank you for that exceptionally well-written introduction. How y'all doing? All right, let's jump right in. So what I want you to do right now is, first of all, to shake up a little, get some energy up. Okay, good. So on a scale of 1 to 10, being perfectly honest with yourself, I want you to give you a rating of how you're feeling right now. After what Jennifer did, I'm sure you're all on a cloud 19, but, you know, just get that number. And when you have that number, just, like, raise your hand and show me. Like, 7, 8, okay. And just have that number baseline. When you all have that number, just raise your hand so I know you're done. 1 to 10. So 1 being kind of down in the dumps, 10 being deliriously happy. So where are you? Okay, good. You got it? Fantastic. Okay. And make sure there's some room for improvement. Okay, good. just so we know. Okay, good. So what I want you to do now is I'm going to say one word, just one word, and I want you to repeat it with me 10 times. Okay? So here we go. The word is no. So here we go. No. 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 No, 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 no. Okay, stop. Reassess. What's that number now on a scale of 1 to 10? How do you feel? Okay. Did it go down for anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, if it went down, raise your hand. Most people in the room. Okay, fantastic. Okay, great. So now we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to give you another word, and we're going to repeat that 10 times. This new word is yes. I want you to really get into it, okay? So here we go. Yes, 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 yes. Stay with it. Okay, good. Now, reassess. Scale of 1 to 10. How are you feeling now?
Better.
Okay. So just be honest with me. No need to hear me. How many of you improved from the baseline from the very beginning? Just by saying yes 10 times. Okay, more than half the room. How long did that take? Seconds, right? So it wasn't even 30 seconds of saying no, you felt worse. It wasn't even 30 seconds of saying yes, you felt significantly better. So this is both good news and bad news. The bad news is that there's no coming at you from every direction all day long, right? The world, you know, I wouldn't say is conspiring to make you feel a certain way, but certainly there's a lot of negative energy coming at you. The good news is that you can control your own state of mind just like that, right? Something that simple. And what I'm going to do in this talk today is to give you a whole grab bag of techniques to play with your own brain, okay? Because my job is to help you run your mind better, and the first step is to show you how you have control. I can tell you all day long how you have control. When you say no 10 times, it makes you feel like crap. When you say yes 10 times, it makes you feel like you're on cloud 9. That is proof to you. I don't have to prove anything to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Every time you say yes, you get to feel better. All right. Fantastic. So before we launch, we're going to do a lot of interactive things that will require your full attention. So I ask you to turn off all your cell phones if you haven't done so already. I noticed that in the past hour they haven't rung. So in a room full of 40 women, that means all your cell phones are probably off. So so thank you for that. And let's move forward. So what is negative and what is positive? And I like to define those terms operationally. So in terms of what it does to you, as opposed to just a negative, like a not or a no in a sentence, or a yes or a I am something in a sentence. Okay. So that which empowers you, that which gives you more choice, that which makes you feel more joy, I consider positive energy. That which limits your choice, that which basically makes you feel less empowered, right? Takes energy away from you, that's negative energy. So negative is not always bad. For example, I can't and shouldn't run a marathon today. We'll probably save you your knees, okay? That's a good idea if you're not ready to do it, right? And at the same time, saying something like, I'm better than everyone else, that sounds positive, but in fact, it brings you down because it makes you unstable, okay? So I'm a big fan of Taoism and Taoist philosophy. I'm going to quote you chapter 13 of the Tao Te Ching, spelled Tao Te Ching, who knows why, but that's the way it is. If you want to look up the book, Tao Te Ching. Whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. When you stand with your 2 feet on the ground, you will always keep your balance. Okay? So any kind of striving upward, that also unbalances you. So keep that in mind. People think in our society in particular that striving, achieving, getting stuff is good, but that actually unbalances you as well. So Taoist philosophy is all about flow. It's all about balance. It's all about finding the natural kind of grain in the wood of life and kind of following that as opposed to trying to struggle against what's coming at you. And the whole point is to bring you to a place of choice. So instead of having negative energy or somebody saying something at you, instead of going into reaction mode, you can actually go into a much larger and more empowered space of choosing your reaction. So I'm going to give you some exercises which will allow you to do exactly that. Does that sound like fun?
Yes.
Fun. All right, good. We're all about fun. And fun is very important. If this stuff sounds like a chore, your brain is not going to react to it favorably, right? If it's fun, if you enjoy it, your brain is going to forge new pathways. They're going to bypass the old, rusty stuff and say, no, we're going to do this from now on. So that is my goal, to transform your entire lives in about 30 minutes. So here we go. So another set of philosophy that I really like is Mahayana Buddhism. So in Mahayana Buddhism, they talk about this principle called upaya, or skillful means. And what is skillful means, but really kind of artful trickery, artful but benign trickery. The idea is to bring people to a place of salvation, but perhaps through slightly devious means. Okay. So, and the classical story from Mahayana Buddhism is the story of the burning house. And the idea is that these kids are in a burning house. And, you know, some guy says, oh my God, the house is burning. They come inside, he's like, all right, kids, we have to go out. The house is burning. They're like, no, leave us alone. We're playing. We're having fun. What am I going to do here? So he says, oh my God, we have carriage rides outside. He's like, woo, carriage rides, okay, cool. So they run outside, and like, where's the carriage? And the guy's like, I'm sorry, I kind of fibbed about the whole carriage thing, but look, got you out of a burning house. Okay? So this is skillful means that you are allowed to use on yourself and on other people. So if you ever feel as if this is somehow unethical, if there are little smidgens of doubt about whether this is the right thing to do, I just gave you permission. So there you go. And it wasn't from me, it was from Mahayana Buddhism, thousands of years old. Okay? So don't take my word for it, you're cool. Okay, so the first technique I want to teach you is what I call the pattern interrupt. So this comes from hypnosis, comes from neurolinguistic programming. It doesn't matter where it comes from, it works. And you've seen it work because this happens to you all the time. I'm just formalizing it and giving you a technique for actually doing it. So what's a pattern interrupt? So what happens is that somebody comes to you and says, you're an asshole, right? And what's your initial reaction? Immediately go, what is that all about? And then you get mad. Then you say, well, screw you too, right? So it's like this whole cascade of things, and you think it's really simple, but actually billions of little chemical reactions just happen. And your brain has this really well-grooved path to allow you to go from that, you're an asshole, to woo, to screw you too, right? Okay, so the one... Exactly, especially in Los Angeles, the one-finger salute comes up really easily, right? Okay, so the point is, what can we do to short-circuit that whole process, right? Take that path and break it. So this is where the pattern interrupt comes in. So what you want to do is you want to be able to rapidly shift yourself out of that pattern, okay? And you do that by just putting in a whole new state, which is very different and hopefully more fun. I'll give you my technique. So I had an assistant for a while. He was an aspiring comedian. And he told me this joke. And the joke was, what does a 600-pound parakeet do? I said, what? And he said, squawk! So, right next to my ear. So, you know, the combination of the shock and the goofiness, it got me laughing. So, henceforth, anytime I want to do an interview and I want to have like a nice goofy smile and get in a good state, I go to myself, squawk! I don't have to scream it, I just think it and I'm there, okay? So, punchline to a goofy joke, right? So, right now, maybe you can think of a good joke that you've liked in the past, somebody told you when you were a kid, some stupid riddle, whatever it is. The goofier, the better, right? But just that punchline is enough of an anchor, an emotional anchor, to take you back to a state of something else, not screw you too. Okay? So, I'll give you a few seconds to think about that, because once you have that in the forefront of your mind, you can use it immediately. And if one of you if as soon as you have one, raise your hand and share it with the group. Yes, in the back. What's your name? Elizabeth, what is your anchor?
I have to stand up and do it.
Okay, do it.
It's Gabrielle. She went to Rome and she had a session with the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And this is with the Pope. She saw the Pope. He goes, I know you won't believe this, but I got one this big and I can't use it.
That's funny. Now, if you laugh at that, you're allowed to use that, can be your little thing, right? You go like that, that's funny. Okay, do we have another? Share. Yes, Marcy.
My 87-year-old father told me, why did Jews have short necks? I don't know.
No! Oh, that's good. Okay. One more, please. Yes, your name?
Tasia.
Yes.
Why do men name their penises? Because they don't want a virtual stranger making major life decisions for them.
Okay, these are all funny, okay? So, I think they're funny. So take something, if you like those, that's fine. Take something that makes you laugh. That is your pattern intro, right? So you're driving down the highway, somebody cuts you off, you could flip them off, or you could say, squawk, and you're in good hands, okay? So that's one technique that's easy. It's already inside your neurology. I'm going to teach you another technique. This is the industrial strength version. Are you guys ready for a super powerful technique that'll just transform your whole life? No, I'm not kidding about it. This is actually pretty good. Ready? Okay, good. It's called anchoring. So anchoring is pretty cool. And it basically comes from classical conditioning. So what did Pavlov do? He actually hit a tuning fork. He did a tuning fork and the dog... when the dog was feeding, and then later on, when there was no food, he would hit the tuning fork, because he was a mean bastard, and the dog would start to salivate without the food, because it associated one stimulus with a certain kind of response. Stimulus, tuning fork. Response, salivate, because food is there. Makes perfect sense, right? So guess what? We are slightly smarter than those dogs, so we have anchors like that all over ourselves, okay? So, for example, I don't know, if I were to go... Da 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 da. What does that do? Reminds you of a Beatles song, maybe, when I'm 64, and maybe makes you smile and sing along, because you heard that at some point, maybe you're having a good time doing that. So all of you have a song that was playing the first time you made out with somebody. Okay, that's an anchor. That's a powerful anchor, okay? Journey, okay, there you go. That works. There's all kinds of anchors out there. So what we're going to do is we're going to deliberately evoke one for a very specific state, and that is a state of fun. Okay? So, fun. Fun is very useful. So what I want you to do now is to take a deep breath and close your eyes. Okay? And very similar to what Jennifer just did, we are now going to go back in time to a time and place where you were having a ridiculous amount of fun. Okay? The more recent, the better, because that'll be even more vivid. But you are just having a ball. You're having such a good time, okay? This could be as nice or nasty, sweet or naughty as you want. Nobody's going to know. So make it good. Make it for you, okay? So go back to that time and place. See what you saw. Hear what you heard. And most important, feel what you felt, okay? And... as you allow that feeling to just kind of grow and grow and grow to a peak, right? Just like allow that feeling to build into a nice deep breath. And with that inhale, allow it to rise all the way. When it's all the way up top, at the very peak, and you know you're there, right? At the very top of that feeling, touch your left thumb to your left forefinger and press it once. Okay? And then let go. and then open your eyes and look up here. Okay? Good? We're going to do this twice more. Ready? Close your eyes again. Go back to that same time and place where you were having a ridiculous amount of fun. See what you saw, see what you heard, and most important, feel what you felt. And this time you're going to imagine that you are at a bottom of a hill. And you're walking up this hill, and as you walk up this hill, the feeling becomes even more intense. So you go kind of climbing up all the way up, and rising up this hill only as quickly as you can actually feel the feeling increase. When you reach the top of this hill, I want you to go ahead and once again touch that left thumb and forefinger together exactly the same way you did the first time. Okay? Only when you reach the peak of that feeling, top of that hill. Fantastic. Okay? When you're ready, open your eyes. Okay, good, good. You guys are great. Fantastic. Okay, close your eyes one more time. Last time. We're going to really burn this in now. Okay, so once again, go back that same time and place. See what you saw. Feel what you felt. Hear what you heard. And this time, I want you to imagine that there is a volume dial. This is the volume dial for the intensity of the feeling. You grab that dial and go crank it up. It starts at about a 1 or a 2, and it goes up to 3, 4, 5, 6, crank it up, 6, 7, 8, only as quickly as you can actually feel the feelings increase. 8, 9, and only when it reaches a 10, when it hits that 10, go ahead and press that thumb and forefinger together. And when you've done that, release and open your eyes and look up here. Alright, fantastic. You guys are really good at this. It's great. Okay, so who's already feeling slightly better than they did before? Okay, great. More fun? Woohoo! Okay, good. So now what I invite you to do is to do something very simple. Is if you just want to feel really good, right? If you want to feel exquisite, just hit that thumb and forefinger together and go exquisite. Like that. And notice something happens. How many of you get a distinct rush of energy and feeling when you do that? Okay, good. If you don't, just practice it some more. This is like dancing salsa. Some people get on the floor and immediately start moving it, right? And they're good at it. They're usually non-white people. Other people, on the other hand, they require a few more lessons. So that's okay. And you learn this very quickly. More than half of you got this the first time, but you can also attach a sound to it. So I said the word exquisite when you did that, and that could be your anchor too. The sound and the touch together will intensify the strength of the anchor. So guess what? You just now have an anchor for feeling really good, and you can fire it anytime you want. I wouldn't do it like boom, boom, boom all the time. That will diminish its strength, but you know, 3, 4, 5 times a day, no problem. Cheaper than antidepressants and much more effective. Antidepressants take 3 months to kick in. This kicks in instantly, okay? And this is you running your own brain much, much safer. Okay, so how you guys doing? You liking this stuff?
Yeah.
Who wants more?
More!
More! All right, good. We're going to get some more then. Great. So let's do another one. So negative energy comes at you in various forms, right? People saying things or mom. Who has issues with mom? Even to this day, right? Who doesn't have issues with mom? I mean, we love mom, and that's exactly why she has so much power over us. So I want you to pick someone who presses your buttons. Someone who annoys the living bejesus out of you, okay? For some of you, it may be mom. For some of you, maybe somebody else. But there's somebody out there, right? And we are now going to do an exercise to disempower that person. Okay? This could be fun. This could be useful. I mean, imagine when your boss says something that used to take you off and now you're like, whatevs. So here we go. So who has, when you have that person who has a negative charge associated with him or her, raise your hand. Okay, good. Most people. Great. Okay. So I want you to close your eyes and bring back some of that charge that person evokes in you and recreate the scenario in which you are annoyed. You feel disempowered. You feel the non-love flowing through you. Okay? Good. And so what I want you to do is to ask yourself, what is the color of this energy that's moving through you? Okay? What's the color? Okay, so pick the color, whatever it is. Say it out loud. Okay, great, fantastic. All right, now I want you to. Now I'm going to ask you some strange questions. I'm going to ask you if this could hold water. This feeling could hold water. How much water would it hold? You know, a thimbleful, a cup, a swimming pool, an ocean, whatever it is. You know, blurt out the answer whenever you're ready. Okay, fantastic. Great, so you got that. And, okay, so next question is, if this feeling were to have a shape, what shape would it be? And it could be any number of shapes, but, you know, it could be like a prickly pear, it could be an almond, it could be a sphere, it could be a really sharp square, whatever it is. Just blur it out when you're ready. Awesome. Okay, great. And now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely abysmal, horrible, horrendous, 1 being wimpy, no charge on it at all, no problem. Give it a rating of 1 to 10. Say out the number. Okay, great. Open your eyes, look at me. Close your eyes, we do it again. Okay, now, once again, what's the color? Pick the color of that feeling. Great, what's the volume? If it could hold water, how much water would it hold? And notice already that it's changing. Some of you have different colors already, some of you have different volumes, okay? And now, if it had a shape, what shape would it be? Great, okay? And on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being horrendous, 1 being, where would you rate it? Okay, great. Now, one more time, here we go, one more loop. What color? Okay. What's the volume? How much water would it hold if it could hold water? Okay. And what would its shape be? What shape would it take? Okay. And on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate it? 10 being terrible, 1 being no problem. Okay, great. So open your eyes. So how many of you notice a transformation in the whole process? Color change, volume change, and ultimately number change, right? How many of you got all the way down to 1? That's pretty quick, right? So you took something that really, really bugged you, started out at a what? 6. Okay, started out at?
7.
Okay, took it from an 8 to a 1, from something that really bugged you to no power over you. How long did that take? Not a whole lot of time. So we did it 3 times so you would see the transformation occur, right? But also now you know how to do it. So what do you do? The first question is, what's the? Okay, number 2 is? How much water would it hold if it could hold water, right? Kind of like how much wood would a woodchuck, right? And how much water would this feeling hold? And 3rd is?
Shape.
And 4th is? Number. So number is key because then you know that's actually it's losing its power over you. You do this 4 or 5 times, there is no feeling in the world that cannot be transformed by this. So I got this out of a book by Ariel and Shia Kane. They're husband and wife therapists in New York. And they do these great workshops there. And they wrote this book called How to Have a Magical Relationship. And Ariel, I believe, is the girl. And she used this when she, her husband used this on her when she had this huge burn from a motorcycle tailpipe. Okay, so that's real pain, right? And in a matter of a few minutes, all that was transformed. So, and she was able to, you know, bear the pain and then go where she'd get treatment. So if that can be transformed by this process, guess what? Your mom saying, I don't like that dress on you, much easier. So, excellent. Okay, so how many of you have pens on you at this moment? Fantastic. So I invite you to pull out your pens.
We have extras.
Share. You don't need to have a pen. We have substitute pens. It's okay. But if you have a pen, it's easier. Also, I recommend that for use in professional context, use a pen just because the alternative looks a little goofy. So the idea is simple. You have control over your mood, and you do that using your body. Your body has all these beautiful feedback mechanisms built in, and we simply are oblivious to them. Until, of course, I come and tell you about them. So, for example, right, what happens when you're happy? You tend to smile, right? But a crazy thing about the brain, about how the brain works, is that if you smile, your brain will go, oh, we're smiling, I must be happy. Crazy, huh? So, this is what you do. So once again, give yourself a rating on a scale of 1 to 10, just so you know. You don't need a pen. Yes, give yourself a rating of 1 to 10. How do you feel right now? Now it's going to be 10 deliriously happy, 1 death. Okay, so give yourself a rating just so you know there's a before and after. You got it? Got it? Okay, good. So, that's what I want you to do. We are going to hold this pen, right? If you do not have a pen, your forefinger will suffice, right? In your teeth, keeping your lips separate, okay, so as much as possible. So without touching the pen with your lips, hold it in your teeth like this. Got it? And we're going to hold it out for 1 minute exactly. Go! Hold it!
I'm taking a picture of this.
Absolutely.
This is great. This is so funny.
Your invitation was permission that we could use your images for...
Pull those lips up. Make sure you're avoiding the pen as much as possible with your lips. So you got your teeth on there, your lips are up. Okay. So what this does is it activates your zygomaticus major muscle, right? Which is your big-ass smiling muscle. And your brain starts to think, oh my God, I must be happy. And so you are all to much goofier than you were before. Okay, you can put the pens down. That was only 45 seconds. How you feel? Better? I mean, 10 seconds into it, you're like, okay, this is really silly.
So
we
do this whenever we're in
You can do it in the car, you can do it at the office. The point is, you have no excuse to be in a crappy mood. If I ever see you in a crappy mood, it's because you want to be in a crappy mood, okay? And it makes you happy, so there you go. So these are ways of snapping out of it. And I just like the way they give you control. You can also, anything that creates that gap, such that you have to... go like that, right? I like the pen because it's hard. You can bite on it, and then you can really work your muscles even more. You're going to make it look like a complete fool. So, anyway. Great. So, you like that?
Yeah.
Useful? Useful? More?
Yeah.
More?
Okay.
We got a couple more for you. Okay, so you had a pattern interrupt for you, and that's good. I want you to also have a pattern interrupt for other people. Let's say somebody starts launching into their whole tirade of, oh my God, I can't believe you're wearing that dress, or whatever, right? Something that gets you, okay? So, henceforth, you will have a way of redirecting that energy and basically giving them amnesia for what they were doing at that moment, okay? Hypnotists use this technique a lot. If I interrupt something you were doing right in the middle of it, this happens to you all the time, right? I mean, geez, oh my God, you guys know about Obama? I mean, what happened to Obama the other day in his little correspondence address? Do you remember that? Okay, what was I talking about 3 minutes ago? Half of you forgot, okay? So the point is, if you actually manage to direct somebody out of that situation, then they will have amnesia for what happened before. The more emotional it is, holy cow, look, a helicopter right outside! Okay? What the hell? Okay, so I want you to find something like that, and it could be just that. You say, holy cow, there's a helicopter right behind you, right? And they go, what? If they go, what, it's over. Whatever they were doing, that train has been derailed, okay? Okay, so... if you think that person doesn't like spiders, you say, holy shit, a huge spider is right behind you, okay? That works really well for most people. Again, this is upaya. They may be slightly scared about the spider, but better slightly scared than in a really crappy mood bearing down on you. So find that pattern and prep that works for you. So when you have that, raise your hand. Okay, share, please. Karen.
I like the one about the spider.
Spider?
That I could
okay.
Say
Let,
too
let's see your version.
Oh my God, there's a spider right behind you.
Perfect. There you go. Yeah, but you know what? I think you can make it even better. More dramatic with the facial gestures. Here we go.
Oh my God! There's a spider over there.
It works.
I like that. That works. All right. Who else? Who else has a good one? Pattern interrupt. You are hijacking people's trains of thought.
This is good for a 4-year-old tantrum too, isn't it?
Almost anybody, yes.
We really
right. But you know what? You can use, if you told the 600-pound parakeet joke to the 4-year-old, all you have to do is say, squawk, and that's it. He or she is rolling on the floor laughing. Whatever was happening before is gone, okay? So, I mean, you do this all the time. You tickle him, right? Who has not tickled a kid who is, like, having a little tantrum, right? So it works. So you're basically tickling the brains of adults, or you can just tickle them. I don't know. I mean, what kind of relationship you got with your boss? That may be acceptable. Okay. So, got that. Okay, good. So finally, I want to give you a new technique. This is my brand new We're Going to Save the World technique. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
This is the ultimate conflict resolution technique of all time. So I call it the FRC technique. It is feel, rise, choose. Okay, so what are we talking about? So I'm really glad I came after Jessica because she laid the groundwork for a lot of stuff I was going to say. I don't have to give you as much background. But the whole idea is when you have a feeling, don't try to shove it aside. Stay with it, okay? So feel it. So somebody comes and says, you're a jerk. You're like, okay. And stay with it for a count of 5-1000, 4-1000, 3-1000, 2-1001, okay? Do not become an automaton. Remain human. So feel it first, okay? You don't have to stew in it. You just have to feel it, okay? So you do that, and I recommend 5 seconds. If you really like the feeling, go for 10. But I say 5. Self-flagellation is always optional. So go for 5, okay? And then what you can do is rise. What is rise? Well, okay. All right, so I already played with you. You're a big jerk, okay? So that makes you feel a certain way, even from somebody who doesn't really mean it, right? You know, I mean that in the most benign way, right? But you felt something, okay? But now what I want you to do is I want you to think about that feeling. I want you to go, well, how do I feel about feeling slightly pissed off, right? What is my thought about that, right? Because you can have thoughts about thoughts. You can have thoughts about feelings. You can have feelings about feelings. That's called metacognition. So there's a whole new branch of psychology and neuroscience opening up on metacognition. And metacognition turns out to be like the essence of all Eastern wisdom and like all the meditative practices. The whole idea is you rise above and you're like, huh, the machine is feeling this. How do I feel about that, right? So you're pissed. Can you be curious about why you're pissed? Perhaps you can. Can you be amused? It's like, oh, look at that. Some complete stranger cut me off and I'm all in a pissy mood now. What's up with that, right? So there's the point is now you have choice. Once you rise above that plane, instead of being in this narrow channel of, oh, this is the only feeling I'm allowed to have, now you have the entire range of feelings available to you. And I recommend one that will always keep you in good stead because you will be right 100% of the time. Who doesn't want to be right 100% of the time, right? Compassion, okay? So if you rise above and you're confused about what feeling to feel, go for compassion. So you're like, okay, guy cut me off. I'm kind of pissy right now. But let's think about that, okay? How do I feel about being pissy? Well, it's kind of silly, I think, isn't it, right? What would I rather feel? Let's go for compassion, okay? So feel is the first step, right? Just whatever comes at you, you have a reaction. That's the way the machine's rigged. No problem. Don't blame the machine. And you come out, and then you go, how do I feel about that? What's my reaction? Can I be curious about that? Go to state of, like, curiosity and intrigue, right? And then you say, where would I have to go with this? And from there, you go to compassion, okay? So let's pick that same meanie who ticks you off, who has that button for you, okay? And imagine a scenario in which he or she says that exact thing that you know, sets you off. So when you got that, raise your hand. Okay. Got that person? Yes? Okay, good. Now, stay with it. 5-1000, 4-1000, 3-1000, 2-1000, and 1. Okay, good. Now, rise above and have a thought about it. How do you feel about this feeling? What do you think about this feeling? Oh, that's kind of goofy. Kind of inconvenient. I don't know. I'd rather get rid of it. I think I'd rather feel and pick that feeling. That feeling could be mirth, it could be joy, it could be compassion. I like compassion because usually these feelings arise out of an interaction with someone who's giving you negative energy. And if you just think, well, you know, maybe his grandma died yesterday, right? Or, you know, I bless him anyway because he's probably having a rough day. Or, you know, poor thing had to be a fugitive for 10 years in the mountains of Pakistan. That's got to stop, right? Right? Whatever it is, just find that place where you can have compassion and feel it. And then notice how that feels to you. Do you feel freer? Do you feel more empowered? Or would you rather be in that narrow channel of anger, of pain, of restriction, and of lack of choice? So who did that work for? Yes, yes. And would you like to describe? Yes. Oh. Pardon me?
I go straight to gratitude, but I'm grateful that I don't have to be in this space.
Okay.
I go straight to gratitude.
Okay. So you skipped all the steps?
I'd like to change the multiple steps.
Kind of like parking in the red zone? Got it. Okay. Who went through all the steps? The way you do something is the way you do everything. So who did all three steps? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody's upset with me, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm not happy about it. And I thought, and he's probably just not happy because he didn't get laid last night. So that's too bad.
Okay, good. So acknowledge the feeling that comes at you, right? So feel that. Have the thought about it. That's a metacognition. So feel, rise, and then choose. Choose the new feeling. So this is a new way of doing things. So practice it. So step one is feel. Two is rise and choose. One more time. Feel, rise, choose. Okay, good. So now that's been seared into your consciousness, and you'll be able to use this on demand anytime you want to, right?
Right.
All right, fantastic. So I just gave you a bunch of techniques. I'm going to go over them. So first is the pattern interrupt for yourself. Squawk! Okay, remember that. Punchline, joke, some kind of anchor. Second is anchoring. So anchoring, and that's very useful. So you did this, and this will make you feel exquisite. Third was color, volume of water, shape, number, right? That whole loop. So what's the color of the feeling, how much water would it hold, and what shape would it have, and on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it, okay? Or what the number is. And finally, then there was a pen technique, right? Hold the pen, and the pattern interrupt for others. And finally, there was the feel, rise, and choose. So any questions about those things? Everything is perfectly clear. We have solved all of your problems, as I promised. All right, good.
Yes. Do you choose individually as a class, or do you?
Sure, I write articles. I do seminars, mostly online, via the phone, via webinar, and I also do private consultations. So, all of the above. Yes. So, website. The main website is taoofdating.com. So, taoofdating.com. It's not just about dating. It's the whole spectrum of, basically, the Tao of Dating book. This will be here. This is the. This is the gateway drug for getting you to kind of be initiated into self-help techniques and taking care of your whole life. Because when you take care of your whole life, guess what? This takes care of itself, the whole dating and love. So, so Tao Dating is the main website. The Tao Dating /women, that's the part for ladies. And I am available at drally@taodating.com. And if you have further questions, I'm happy to answer them.
So in other words, if someone's coming specifically to anything from quitting smoking to overreacting to a family member or somebody, mm-hmm. or grief, anger management, any of those kinds of things, this stuff would apply to, I imagine.
Sure. So yes, I can give you a brief intro to what hypnosis actually does. So hypnosis, I just gave you a grab bag of techniques that I would use in my practice. But in hypnotherapy, I actually sit you down one-on-one, get you in a very quiet meditative state in the same way that you did when you were thinking about the anchoring exercise. And in that way, I basically give you tools to run your own mind better. Except that when you're in a deep trance, that stuff tends to work like 10 times as well and tends to stay with you for a very long time. So that's the essence of hypnotherapy. There are other techniques as well. And all of these come together the idea is to look at you as a whole person as opposed to just a little symptom, right? So I like to go to the root cause, figure out what's going on there, and treat that. That way you don't need me. And my job is to get you out of my office as quickly as possible. Most psychotherapists like to keep you for 114.
Hey, excuse me.
Except for her.
Remember,
she's fantastic.
Remember who invited you. She's,
my job is to get you out and send you to her. So there you go.
One more question.
Yes.
It works.
If,
as a rewiring.
Yeah, so EFT is emotional freedom technique. It involves like tapping things and saying things. And the whole idea is, you know, it's working with your neurology, right? So if I come here and I just like confuse you by going like this and saying things and saying, your brain just doesn't know where to go. And every time you have a memory, and if you have a, your memories are not laid down in your brain like a hard drive, right? Every time you re-evoke a memory, it's actually reconstructed from scratch. So if you modify the memory somehow, for example, if you were to add a Mickey Mouse soundtrack to it, right, or monkeys flying through the air as your boss is yelling at you, right, then you go to bed the next day, you wake up, it's not the same memory. It's lost some of its sting. So, for example, a phobia is a really strong memory that was laid down at a certain point, an overreaction to a certain stimulus. So for phobia treatment, we do something like EFT, except I do it verbally, and afterwards, guess what, the whole thing is jumbled up. And EFT is basically, you did this anchor thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like setting a whole bunch of anchors on your body as mm-hmm. you're doing certain things. So, and that tends to mess up all the patterns that are there. The big point of tonight's talk is that you have these patterns laid down in your brain, right? When you were born, they weren't there. So, and there wasn't some mechanic that went inside and like welded things together and put it there, right? Words, experiences, they created new neural pathways. Well, guess what? Words and experiences can undo those neural pathways. You have that power. And what really saddens me is seeing people who are like 70, 80, 90 years old, and they're doing the same things that they were when they were 15, right? And you don't have to do that, okay? You can be relieved of these in a matter of minutes sometimes, right? So there are ways of doing it. So consider that. And if there's something that really bugs you, do something about it. Yes?
Okay.
Give me an example, like, say, quitting smoking?
Just, for example, if you want to, like, train yourself to enjoy
exercise. Okay, so it depends on the person, right? So sometimes all it takes is one session, one hypnotic session, and you are off to the races. I've had people come in who've been smoking for 15, 20 years. After one session, they no longer want to smoke. So if you are susceptible to that kind of hypnotherapy, then it works for you, then maybe that's all it takes. The key thing is to set up a virtuous cycle, okay? So when you set up, you just design it such that your brain really likes doing this, then your brain will do more of it. So you basically want to set up positive reinforcement. You also want to set up ways of making yourself accountable. You may want to take this website down, stick.com, stick with two Ks, S-T-I-C-K-K. Their motto is put a contract on yourself. So the idea is that you say, okay, if I don't run 3 times this week, then I will donate $100 to the Dick Cheney Beer Fund or something, right? For those of you for whom this is an onerous task, then you are motivated not to do this. You also bring in friends and say, hey, I'm making you accountable. If this doesn't happen, then I'll do it. So the point is, set up all these structures such that you're channeling yourself into doing the thing that you want to do, and also make yourself have small wins. So say, hey, if I go out running 1 day this week, then that's a win. Okay, the next week, make it twice, as opposed to saying, I'm going to run 45 minutes every day for 7 days a week. That's just setting yourself up for a failure.
Force yourself to enjoy.
I'm not sure if that really works. Does that work?
People like, they get into it and they enjoy. And other people, they do it and they still don't like it.
Right, so what I would suggest is to, if you're forcing to enjoy, sounds to me like it's going against the Tao. So the Tao is all about flow, it's all about ease, it's all about swimming downstream. So find the thing that you already enjoy and do more of that. Because if you don't enjoy spinning, you shouldn't be going to the spinning class.
Right. Allie? Fabulous!